Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation. There is huge breaking news today. The fugitive Mexican drug lord of the Sinaloa cartel, El Chapo, has been caught in Mexico by the Mexican Marines. That's a huge story. It is in no way related to our discussion yesterday about the flood of drugs in America, but it's really a big story. It means the Mexican government itself got them. That's the big story. It wasn't the USDEA. He wasn't hiding in America. He was hiding in his hometown, and they got him. What the effects will be on the flood of drugs in America is another story. Here's another hateful story. In the name of Islam, a Muslim shot a Pennsylvania cop in the face through his car window. Did you hear that one, Mr. Obama? A Pennsylvania cop was shot through the car window by a piece of human trash who pledged allegiance to ISIS in the name of Islam. Suspect in PA cop ambush said he acted in the name of Islam, police confirm. The suspect's gun, a 9mm Glock 17, had been stolen from police in 2013. The suspect, 30-year-old Edward Archer, said he pledges his allegiance to Islamic State. He follows Allah, and that is the reason he was called upon to do this. Did you hear this? I think this made it to your local paper. The conversion rate to Islam in the prisons is what's causing this. That's number one. They're wrapping themselves in a religion in order to justify murder in many cases, because that's what he just did. So Officer Jesse Hartnett was in critical but stable condition. The piece of garbage fired a total of 13 shots last night. Three bullets struck the officer in his left arm. And Obama wants to bring more of them in. And no one wants to curtail the conversions in the prisons. Now it gets even worse on this Open Mic to Mike Friday. I'm sorry to give you bad news, but I told you yesterday the light is going out in America, and it's going out more quickly than I could ever imagine. The hate coming to us from overseas and from the domestic terrorists is overwhelming, and anyone with a brain can feel it. But wait. Remember we were talking about why doesn't Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, why doesn't the creature who owns Twitter, Why don't the guys who run Google, Obama's good friends of Nancy Pelosi, remember the Google plane was used to fly a private wedding party up to Pelosi's daughter's wedding? You know, good friends of Obama at Google, Googleberg, Facel Stick, and Twitter. Remember we said, why don't you just shut these outlets down in areas where you know the terrorists congregate, whether it be in Iraq or in Syria, wherever they may be? And they still won't do it. Guess what they did yesterday? You're not going to believe this. Are you ready for this? In Germany, Mark Zuckerface, the Google boys, and the Twitter gal have shut down any posts critical of the refugees and the rapes of German women. This is a story from the Washington Post. This is a story from the liberal Washington Post. Anyone who criticizes the Africans and the Muslims from the Middle East who have raped the German girls is considered a hate speecher. And old Google, Mark Facebook, and the Twitter gal have agreed to apply domestic laws rather than their own corporate policies to close down any criticism of immigrants into Germany. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? Do you have any idea what fascism is? Do you know what National Socialism was? Do you understand that in their attempt to stop the emergence of Nazis, they have become Nazis? Do you understand this? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Nah, you don't care. What's the difference? It's Friday. It's TGIF. Time to get a few beers and I don't know what you do with yourself, but anyone who files an offensive post in Germany has been shut down by Mark of Facebook, Google of Googleberg, and Twitter of Twitterberg. But the Muslims who are posting how to join ISIS have not yet been stopped. They're going to discuss that with the Obama administration. Now, this German campaign to stop any content that the government under the potato face Merkel considers offensive is being fought by those on the right and those conservatives who are filing a lawsuit against the government. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Can you believe that they're banning free speech in Germany that criticizes the flood of immigrants that the communist potato face Merkel is flooding into the country? Now let's come to America. Last night, of course, Obama did a show trial, something out of the Soviet Union on guns, something that Joseph Stalin would not have been proud of because it was very amateurish. But Obama admitted what I know to be true about most liberals who hate guns. They're afraid of them. Most of them are unstable characters at any speed. And he said last night he's never owned a gun. No, he never owned one, but he knows you shouldn't own one either. See, you don't need one, and he doesn't need one because he has, well, he has the Praetorian Guard, doesn't he? He'll never need a gun, but you will need a gun from the thugs he's bringing into the country. Listen to clip number one on the Savage Nation.
Owned a gun. Now, up at Camp David, we've got some skeet shooting, so on a fairly regular basis, we get a 12-gauge, and I'm not making any claims about my marksmanship, but, you know, I grew up mostly in Hawaii, and
other than
hunting for wild pig, which they do once in a while, you know, there's not the popularity of hunting and sportsmanship with guns as much as there are in other parts of the country.
Do you realize how stupid the man is? Of course there's not as much popularity for hunting and sportsmanship in Hawaii, which is a small island nation. I mean, the only wild game is pig. If there were deer and antelope, they'd be hunting for them, and buffalo. What a moron he is. You know, he isn't the smartest man in the world. He may be one of the most evil, but not the smartest. And then he goes on to say it's a conspiracy. I don't really want to do guns today, but I got to tell you this. You can't avoid it. When you see a demagogue like this of such low caliber, a low caliber demagogue like him, talking about taking away the high caliber guns that you, all of us know we are entitled to own, I mean, you got to talk about it. Now, in clip two, he gets very clever about a conspiracy. Listen.
This notion of a conspiracy out there, and it gets wrapped up in concerns about the federal government. Now, there's a long history of that. That's in our DNA. You know, the United States was born suspicious of some distant authority. Yes, it is fair to call it a conspiracy. What are you saying? Are you suggesting that the notion that we are creating a plot to take everybody's guns away so that we can impose martial law
is a
conspiracy? Yes, that is a conspiracy.
No, it's not a conspiracy. With you, it's not a conspiracy. With you, it's an open statement of your desires from the day you became a left-wing fanatic. You know what amazes me about our political system, how limited it really is what amazes me. You look at European parliaments. They have far-left parties, left parties, left-of-center parties, center parties, to the right-of-center parties, and to the far-right. They have a full spectrum of opinion. Do you have any idea that Obama on that scale is at the far left as you could go? Do you realize we are in a tyranny in this country where a small fraction of the left, the most fanatical leftists, are running the country off the rails? And you think he's a Democrat? He's a demagogue, not a Democrat. And of course they want to take your gun away, for obvious reasons. They've always wanted to take your guns away. But most of you don't own guns, I get that. The city dwellers who listen to this show in the big markets don't own guns, and so they don't even know what to say about this. But he was confronted by many people, in a way, stoogey setups. There was only one I really respected, and that was American Sniper Widow, who took him on over the right to bear arms. And he tried to argue with her, and of course she was 100 times bigger than he is. This is the Savage Nation. It's open mic to Mike Friday. The phone number is 855-400-7282. I'd rather not get stuck on the gun question. So what I'm going to do for your listening pleasure is go back to the Week in Review and read some of the hot stuff that we talked about. I would say the biggest points of the week by the day. There's so many of them, I can't even read them. I was asked to be given bullet points. It's like reading an Encyclopedia Britannica. Because to make it into bullet points would have taken a lot more work than to just... It's too many points, okay? So let's go back to yesterday. Savage said Merkel, and I said Hillary is the Merkel of the U.S. I said if Trump wins, it will be a landslide against Hillary as much as a victory for Trump. I talked about Soros in removing the uptick rule that led to the decimation of the markets in 08. I talked about drug addiction yesterday. That was a big topic. And why is drug addiction, I asked, no longer a topic during a debate? No one is talking about drug addiction and the drug epidemic. I talked about cortisol levels and how to reduce them. I talked about the light in America. Is it dimming or is it only my feeling about it dimming? Is it a personal thing in my life? Or did I feel that many of you feel that the lights are going out in this country? And why are the lights getting dimmer? See, it's not about the lights going out. There's a dimness that is radiating across the country, I feel. And I want to know why. I believe it has to do with Islamic terror. I believe it has to do with a very dangerous, crazy, out-of-control lunatic in the White House who has no limits to his power madness. And people are afraid of the lunatic. They don't know what he's liable to do next. In other words, it's not enough what he got away with so far. He needs now more of the far left agenda. And people are freaked out over this. And then we got to talk about all the other topics this week. I mean, North Korea set off a nuclear weapon of 6 kilotons. And I asked, why do you think China permitted North Korea, their junkyard dog, to do this? We talked about that. It's a very big story. And no one's talking about the North Korean nukes, which are a direct result of Obama's weakness. See, Obama's a bully. He's a classic bully. Obama bullies people at fake town hall meetings. Obama bullies the white middle class from the bully pulpit. But when it comes to real dictatorships, such as Iran or North Korea, he has nothing to say. He kowtows to China, says nothing about the North Korean nuke, says nothing about Iran's missiles. But he bullies the middle class. That's his specialty. And you have to ask yourself psychologically, and we've talked about this, we've hinted at it, it's worthy of an entire encyclopedia, which is the mental illness of the President of the United States. Why does he have such an antipathy towards the white middle class in this country? Because that's who his animus is aimed at. His animus is not aimed at North Korea. His animus is not aimed at Iran. His animus is no longer even aimed at Putin, who, by the way, shouldn't be our enemy, he should be our ally. Where does he aim his animus on a daily basis? He aims it at the white middle class, especially the heterosexual Christian, with an almost vendetta. And if you're blind, you can't see this. But you can see it if you look at it clearly, and it's sickening. It's sickening to watch this. And I think these topics are interesting. There are other topics. Has Hillary said one word about the German rapes? No, she said nothing about the rapes of the women by Muslims, the immigrants. She said nothing about the rape of Yazidi girls months ago. Nothing. This is the Savage Nation headline. They got the Mexican drug lord El Chapo after a deadly shootout and 6 months on the run. In the name of Islam, a Pennsylvania cop was shot, pledging allegiance to ISIS. These are the topics. The phone number is 855. Oh, let me forget the big one. See, to me, the biggest story is the Washington Post story that I caught in passing last night, which is that while Zuckerface, the Google boys, and the Twitter girl have yet to shut down their operations where the ISIS individuals are recruiting around the world, they found no problem in shutting down conservative opposition to Muslim terror in Germany. That's a huge story. It is really fascism. And you know what? It doesn't matter which side of the aisle fascism comes from, whether it comes from the right or the left. Call it by any name you wish. Totalitarianism is totalitarianism. And it came to us courtesy of Twitter, Facebook, and Google. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. Rock and Roll Friday on the one and only Savage Nation. Many of you have become so addicted to the sounds of the show that when I open my show, if I don't open with Blue Monday on Monday, something's wrong in your life. If I don't close Friday out with Rock and Roll Friday, the week isn't complete. We need consistency in our life. And I try to give you that consistency. And if I sound different, I'm not really different. But the world is a different place than it was even a year ago. Not just for me, I mean for the country. Things have changed. The bomb's going off. At the same time, this lunatic is bringing them in. I mean, let's be clear. This is what's upsetting us. You've got one particular group that wants to take over the whole world. They sell it around the religion. And instead of stopping the importation of folks from this group that seem to have an awful lot of people in that group who set off bombs, kill people, etc., instead of saying, wait, we shouldn't bring more of them in right now because we really are in trouble with those who are here already, we don't know. Instead, he says he wants to bring in 10,000, 100,000, 300,000 Syrian men of military age, and no one can believe that he keeps getting away with this stuff. He goes on, he gives a speech about guns that we know is illegal. A president cannot make law. He knows that better than you do. The man is out of control. He's a raging out of control man. And I think it's scaring people, especially people who listen to talk radio. Let me be specific. It's not scaring the average Joe and Jane college kid. They don't know what's going on. They never did, they never will, the average one. It's not scaring the far-left fanatics who hate the society. Okay, I can go down the list, but those of you who listen to shows like this feel the dimness. That's what I'm getting at.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, kill the music. I'm not in the music world right now. Listen. The denial of what the problem is the real problem. A Muslim shoots a cop in Philadelphia last night. He shoots him in the name of Islam. We know it's true. Why? Because the police commissioner says the suspect gave a full confession, boasting that he shot the cop in the name of Islam. According to the police commissioner, the shooter said that police bend laws that are contrary to the teaching of the Quran, so he's justified in killing them. He's a stone-hearted murderer who wrapped himself in a religion, probably a jailhouse convert. They have a full confession of the alleged attack written down and recorded, and yet, you're not going to believe what I'm going to play for you. The mayor goes on the air and says the following in complete denial of reality.
In no way, shape, or form does anyone in this room believe that Islam or the teaching of Islam has anything to do with what you've seen on that screen. That is abhorrent. It's terrible. And it does not represent the religion in any way, shape, or form or any of its teachings. This is a criminal with a stolen gun who tried to kill one of our officers. Has nothing to do with being a Muslim or following the Islamic faith.
How does he know that? The man said he did it in the name of Islam. The man who shot the cop said he did it in the name of Islam. He confessed to committing this cowardly act in the name of Islam, according to Richard Ross Jr., the city's police commissioner. 30-year-old jailbird did it, walked up to the cop and shot him through the window. The shooter said he was pledging allegiance to the Islamic State, known as ISIS. Now, why would the mayor bend over backwards with this propaganda, the same propaganda that comes out of Obama's mouth, the same propaganda that comes out of Merkel's mouth? Why do they continuously act in denial of reality? Why? Why must they always sweep it under the rug? Can anyone explain that to me? Don't bother. We know why. Now he's saying this is a criminal with a stolen gun? Yeah, of course. Sure, it's a criminal with a stolen gun who shot a cop in the name of a certain religion and pledged loyalty to ISIS. Now, how does it help us for you to know that? Should I not mention it? Am I hurting the social fabric
by mentioning the reality of what actually transpired? Or would you think that America would be a better place if I censored myself and did not tell you the relationship to Islam or to ISIS? You think about it. Because Facebook, Twitterberg, and Googleberg shut down all opposition in Germany. Anyone who posts anything about the rapes that went on in Germany over New Year's Eve, and there were a massive number of them, is being shut down by Facebook, Google, and Twitter. The very same buccaneers who will not stop the recruitment of ISIS by ISIS using their outlets had no trouble shutting off opposition to immigrants in Germany. Do you understand what's happening? Do you know why I say the lights are getting dimmer? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So we're in real trouble. We have images of the shooter running across the street, released by police, so we know who did it. You see the man wearing a white robe, no less. Now, what was he wearing a white robe for? Would he just come from a bakery? No, that was his Allah Akbar robe. He didn't just come from an ice cream plant. In these images, a man wearing a white robe over his clothing, running through the crosswalk toward a police cruiser with his hand outstretched, pointing a gun. It's stunning. He fires at the cop through the window, and the cop is so good he fires back. Well, anyway, you get the picture. The shooter's mother, Valerie Holliday, told the Philly Inquirer that her son was a devout Muslim. A devout Muslim. Mother even said it. So we don't have to notice this. I mean, we can sweep it under the rug. We can keep sweeping under the rug for how long? How many years do we sweep it under the rug? What, until Obama brings 300,000 in, amongst whom there is, what, 3,000 nuts like this? So that's why we have to talk about it. I'm not doing this for any other reason. I'm as concerned as you are. I'm as worried as you are. Because I think if we let the lunatic in the White House get away with his big lies over and over and over again, and we don't challenge the liar in the White House, and we let the liar in the White House flood us with 300,000 or whatever men of military age from Syria, it'll be too late. I think that the police will be overwhelmed. I think the security services will be overwhelmed. And then on top of it all, he wants to limit your access to a gun. It's very easy to fall into a conspiracy theory when you have a maniac like this in the White House, especially at times like this. Don't you think? Or am I overreacting? Think I'm overreacting? You think I'm being alarmist? Is that the problem? If men like me didn't even mention it, it'd be a better country. If we just left these things alone and let the people shoot cops and say they're doing it in the name of this, the name of that, you get the picture. I don't have to go on and on about it. WSBA Radio, Mike, I think you're going to say what I just said, but go ahead and say it anyway.
Sure, Michael, thank you. I just want to say that Mayor Michael Nutter not only acts like Obama and looks like Obama, but he didn't even ask, have the decency to inquire how the police officer was doing. He was so...
Why would he come out immediately and say it had nothing to do with Islam when the guy who did it said it, he had it to do, he did it in the name of Islam? Why would he bend over backwards to sweep that under the rug? Is he a Muslim, the mayor?
He sure sounds like one, and he's, as you would say, Islamophilic. But, you know, it's just...
Yeah, it's a good word, right? I used that years ago. Islamophilia, Islamophobia. Yeah, it's a good word.
Give you the
Islamophilic, that's a good word. We have an awful lot of Islamophilics in the government and the media, don't we? Why are so many of them Christophobic but Islamophilic, I wonder? What's that about? Why do they eschew the religion of their own family and their own background and yet embrace that of others who don't really like them very much? What is that about? Well, okay, you can say it's the Stockholm Syndrome. You could say it's appeasing an electorate that they need. Who knows what the reasons are? All right, Mike, it's a very sad day when such propaganda passes for the truth. WABC, New York City. Ray, thank you for calling. What's your point? What's your topic?
Well, my topic is on the light of dimming. Thank you for taking my call. And, you know, I'm a retired Marine, and there's thousands of Marines on Long Island just alone who the fire burns bright, as you can imagine. But I understand why you feel that way. And We never thought that the biggest fear and the biggest enemy to the world and to our country would be our own president. And we talk about it all the time in the American Legion and the Marine Corps League. And we're prepared to keep our oath that we never relinquished when we joined the Marine Corps to defend our country against foreign and domestic foes. And we're prepared for it, you know, if that's what he wants.
That is really, you just gave a speech that is so amazing in what you said. There's no commentary possible. It's like the Bible sometimes had commentary written about it. But there are certain things in the Bible that are so true that there's no need for commentary. What you just said is very important to hear. But you feel that the government certainly is a threat to our freedoms, is what you're saying, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I fear...
So let me ask you, we have all these retired military armed to the teeth. We have retired cops armed to the teeth. They're fuming. They're burning inside. They don't know what to do. So what is there to do in this country to stop this lunatic?
Well, unfortunately, you know, our elected officials in the Republican Party and the Conservative Party keep kowtowing to them. And I don't know. I'm as befuddled as you are when it comes to the power that he's wielding and nobody is pushing back against him. It's astounding to me. I don't understand it. And I understand why you feel the way the light is dimming, but I fear for our country in general. And I will never relinquish my firearms, nor will the thousands of Marines that I know on this island release their firearms. Because
you know, you're raising the firearm issue, and I wanted to avoid it today because it's an obvious topic because of Obama's desire to seize our weapons, despite what he says. Let me ask you this. He says that it's impossible to deport 11 or 33 million illegal aliens that could never be done even if we wanted to do it, right? Is that the standard mantra of the left? Oh, you can't deport 11 million. We know it's more like 33 million or 50 million. But let's take a number of 30 million. Oh, you can't deport all those 30 million illegal aliens? It's technically impossible. Well, how could he seize 100 million guns? How is that possible?
You know, he's a walking contradiction, and I absolutely do not believe he has our country's best interest in any.
Well, that's a given. I don't even have to debate it with you. I don't think anything he's done is in the interest of America. But nevertheless, having said that, we have a year left, almost a year left. Remember, he doesn't leave office till next January. He doesn't leave at the time of the election. And you watch what he gets away with if Trump wins. You watch and see what he does between November and January. That's the real action is going to be in those 2 months. But what do you think he will do next, this lunatic?
The horrifying terror that scares me to my core and everything that I believe in and was willing to fight and die for in the Marines. I'm disgusted by it.
But I asked you, what do you think he's going to do next to take away any of our liberties?
What would he do next?
We know he wants the guns. He made a play for the guns, and he's holding on to that one. But what's next is the question.
Well, you know, he had the press in his pocket, so I don't know what else he could do unless they stop our opposition in Facebook and Twitter and social media.
There you go. The Second Amendment, when they came for the Second Amendment, you said nothing, you liberals, because you don't own any guns. But when they came for the First Amendment, there was no one left to defend you. And that's what's coming next. He is going to go to Googleberg, Twitterberg, and Facebook. And he's going to tell them to take down any posts that are inflammatory towards immigrants or Muslims, just as they just did in Germany. He will do that next as I'm standing here. That is coming tomorrow. And I don't mean tomorrow literally. It is coming. That is where he's going. One amendment at a time. Right down the list. Now, why wouldn't he do it? Who's going to stop him? Facelberg needs the relationship with the government. Facelberg will do anything, that Quisling, for another buck. Or the Twitter woman. Or the Google boys who are in his pocket. They're friends. Do you know how close Google is with the Obamas and the Pelosis? Do you know that it's one closed circle? It's like a sorority or fraternity, rather. They all know each other. He could do it with one less than a phone call. The stroke of a key. He could have Google and Facebook close it down. Any opposition to him, any opposition to immigrants, he could have it done tomorrow or yesterday. Do you know that? With the wink of an eye? Just by rubbing some menthol on his eyelid, he could stop it.
It's frightening beyond belief. I never thought I'd see it in this country ever. And
you know what? The left would applaud the attack on the Second Amendment and the First Amendment. They would applaud it. And I'll tell you what else is coming, or possibly coming. Tell me which outlets in the media are most vociferous against this maniac. It's certainly not television. It's not Fox News. They're very middle of the road. Only talk radio, isn't it?
Yes, you're my voice of reason. You're the only people that understand and have...
How hard would it be for Obama to shut us off?
Well, you know, that's attacking the very First Amendment of the Constitution.
And so who would say anything about it? Who would defend us if he turned us off on the radio saying we are disturbing the social order, like Kim Jong mentally ill did?
Or his son,
the herring eater there, whatever his name is, Kim Jong Moon. Okay, now you understand why there's darkness in the country. We have a vampire who will go after any amendment that grants us liberty to stand up to him. My friend, it's Friday. We should have a good time, you know, all of that stuff. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero. If you don't already have one, give it to a Marine buddy. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
I thought I heard a little voice over there. I get him out. Take him out. Get him out of here. Don't give him his coat. Don't give him his coat. Keep his coat. Confiscate his coat. You know, it's about 10 degrees below zero outside. Now, come on, get him out. We got to get the security moving a little bit faster here. Come on, fellas. They got to move faster. We're not dealing with tough hombres.
That's Trump having the Bernie commies thrown out of a meeting in Vermont. Notice he didn't pander to them. That's why they left hates him, because they know what he's going to do to them. All of the little cowards who have gotten away with the destruction of our society, the family, God, the church, you name it, they know what's coming when he wins. You know, another story comes out today about polls. Donald Trump must be destroyed. Sean Kennedy, CNN. And they go down the list, and it says that Trump channels that of basically the white, angry, economically struggling America. And as the New York Times' Nate Cohen analysis showed last week, the GOP frontrunner runs best with blue-collar, rural, registered Democrats. You know, they all saying it's the poor who like Trump. I've told you, I've worked my way out of poverty, and I'm not poor. And all the people I know are not poor, to be honest with you. They all love Trump. Everyone I know who's worked all their life and makes a good living loves Trump. Now, we love the blue-collar, rural, registered Democrats as well. We love blue-collar, whatever that means today, blue-collar. What does that mean? I don't even know what the word means anymore. Where are the factories, blue-collar? But nevertheless, let's use that. All these idiots, New York Times' Nate Cohn, shows that the blue-collar, rural people are the ones behind Trump. Uneducated. Well, I'm quite educated. People I know are very well educated. They all love Trump. So they're writing these falsehoods. They say he's no true conservative. He's not this. He's not that. He's no good. I've never seen such a round-the-clock litany of fear being motivated by the radical left, because they've gotten away with murder. And they know what's coming. They know that when Trump wins, we're coming for them. They know in their heart of hearts they're going to be uncoupled from their power structure.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
In the 50s, I see an America that was bold, daring, macho, unafraid, proud of itself. I look at America today, I see, obviously, something else. Now, what do I see? And why has it come to this? It's because a very small band of radical, fanatical leftists have seized every aspect of the media, every avenue of government imaginable. They're not the majority. They don't speak for the people. This is a small band of deviants, political deviants. I'm not referring to their sexuality because I'm sure it varies across the board. They are political deviants. In a statistical sense, they are deviants in a political sense, a social sense, and this small band of deviants in government and in the media have wrecked the United States of America and turned us into a nation of almost slaves. We are mental slaves in this country. What do I mean by that? How many of you dare speak what you feel, even in your own home anymore? You see what I just said to you? You certainly can't speak what you believe at work. You get fired because of the small band of deviants who run your workplace in the human resources department. They know just where to go, by the way. They know which departments to occupy. They occupy the universities, by the way, on their long march. And I'm using a phrase that's loaded for those of you who know history. Their long march through the culture of America began first in the universities because they were the softest target. So they took over the universities, and look what they've turned them into. They've turned the universities into, okay, I have words for it, but I'm not going to use them. They're not universities anymore with ideals at all. They've turned them into something else. Indoctrination centers, places where deviancy is encouraged. All sorts of insanity is supported. And issues of liberty and Americanism are denigrated. And then after they got through with the universities, of course, on their long march, they took over government at every level, including the top position in the White House. They finally found their man. They put him in there. And the media, because the media has long been taken over, there's no opposition to be found. They couch everything he does in another way. And so it's a small band of deviants who are running America and have induced the sense of doom and fear in most of us. Can Donald Trump save that? Can he reverse it? I think so, actually. This is why the left is so fanatically against him. They so fear a real American man who has stood up, a real American macho man. No one's even used that word. He's an alpha male. We've heard that. That's a nice way of saying it, but that's not what he is. He's not an alpha male. He's a macho male. That's why he appeals to minority men in particular. Probably minority women as well. They're so tired of the metrosexuals, the double talkers, the guys with manicures, you know, the too good manicures, let's put it to you that way. The too good this, the too good that, they're sick of it. They're tired of the puppets. They want someone who's bold. And that's what the story is. That's why people are waiting for the election. They can't wait. This is going to be a very, very big deal come next November. We all know that. I don't think Hillary is a viable candidate. Truthfully, yes, she thinks that she owns the unions. But as I pointed out yesterday, the female who is the head of the SEIU, the Service Employees International Union, one of the largest in America, the very same corrupt union that put Jerry Brown in power and has virtually wiped out the entire opposition party in California. It's a one-party system. And if you think that's good for America, you ought to have your head examined. A one-party system's not good for North Korea, and it's not good for California. But the very same SEIU that put Jerry Brown in power admitted yesterday that 62% of its members are identifying with Donald Trump. Did you know that? That they're conservative? I think it's going to be a landslide unless they rig the election completely.
And I don't know that the Republican Party doesn't want the landslide to happen. That's the problem. I think that the boll weevils inside the Republican Party will do everything they can to help Hillary win. But that's a separate story, because that's only my suspicion or my conjecture, okay? So let's get down to brass tacks. We see what's going on. I've given you the top stories of the day, which I can't repeat every hour. It's too hard. If you come in late to the classroom, I'm sorry, you have to catch up. Get the Savage Notes from someone else, because hour one was very important today. And if you missed it, it's going to be on the, what month is this, January? It will be on the quarterly tests that we have in February. The first midterms will be in late March on the Savage schedule, but we'll have the quarterly exams next month. And if you miss anything in any of the hours, you'll have to get it from the Savage Notes. Now let's go to the callers, and we have one open line at 855-400-7282. That's the phone number. WABC Joe, go ahead, please. What's your topic? What's your position?
Hey, Mike, how you doing? I just, you know, so you started talking. I heard your whole diatribe, and you go right into the identity politics and us versus them. They hate the country. You know, the universities are taken over by communists. Listen,
I didn't use the word communist once. I said deviants. You got my word wrong.
No, but I'm giving you the whole diatribe. I'm giving you your whole diatribe that you do throughout the week. I just started.
Oh, so wait. So the diatribe is not from today. It's from the week. Okay. You're being more specific. Because I said deviants took over the universities, and I said in a statistical manner they are deviant. Those are my exact words.
Okay. But don't you think that instead of using the us versus them kind of politics, and listen, again, I know you're a provocateur, that this is what you do, this is how you...
Okay, all right, you know everything right now. Now you categorize me because you're so smart. In other words, I don't believe anything that I say. I do it just to provoke people. Is that it?
But you know, instead of getting to a fight about you, with you...
Well, what, isn't that what you're doing? Aren't you trying to provoke me?
I'm trying to play your...
Oh, no, you're above provocation. I get it. You're not trying to provoke me. And it's not you versus me. Suddenly you're my friend. Is that right?
I don't want to get you riled up. But, you know, the reason why...
Well, you just tried to get riled up, but you didn't push my buttons too good. Because I can see right through you. What's your main point, my friend?
Okay, my main point is I am an Iraq war veteran.
Yeah. Are you a war hero? You have the Medal of Honor as well?
Sir, I'm not any kind of hero. I serve my country. And
good for you. I'm glad to hear. All right, so you served your country and what? And you agree with everything that the monster in the White House is doing. Is that it?
And then here you go again, the monster. So that's productive, right? That's an intelligent comment you just made.
It's a very intelligent comment. If you want real intelligent, I'll send you Government Zero, and you can read 400 pages about what the monster has done with references. But are you willing to read something, or is your mind made up?
You can be the I am a self-made scientist, and I...
Oh, here we go again, but you didn't react to what I just said. Would you read a book? Would you look at the facts? Would you see the references, or your mind is made up?
But then you show your ignorance, and you call the man a monster.
You see this? Here we go again, but you didn't say you'd be willing to read a book, did you?
But do you see how you defeat your own argument?
No, did you see what I just said? You, Mr. Ignoramus, refuses to even read a book.
I love books.
But, you love books? Okay, so be my guest. Would you read Government Zero and refer to it and see if you disagree with any of my factual statements?
Knowing your wares, have you no shame.
Sir, you're changing the subject again. You're showing your ignorance. You're showing your ignorance because my book became number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list. Does that mean everyone who read it is an ignoramus?
Listen, everybody, in case you didn't...
No, you listen to me now. You've talked. You listen to me. Does that mean everyone who bought the book is an ignoramus because they don't agree with you?
Just in case you didn't know, it's called Government Zero, and he's trying to sell you his book. Just in case you didn't know that.
Well, sir, who are you talking to right now?
I'm talking to you, Mike. I'm talking to you. I thought we're talking here.
Wait, sir, let me ask you something. You're a war hero. We know that. What do you actually do for a living?
I didn't say I was a war hero, and I don't...
Yes, you're an Iraq war hero. What do you do for a living?
No, get get my words right. Now you listen to my words.
In about one more minute, I'm going to hang up on you because you're a boring caller. I'm going to give you one more chance to have a dialogue since you want to be heard. What do you do for a living?
I work for the government. I'm a...
Of course you do. Of course you're a government drone. What else could you possibly do with that attitude? Your boss man in the White House is your boss.
No,
take a walk. Get off my show. Go call NPR. Call your buddies at National Obama Radio. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Turn it off. I don't want to hear slow dancing. I don't want to hear it. It's over. It's no time for any of it anymore. That's all. It's a new world. Welcome to the New World Order. If you care to join the show, we have exactly one open line on Rock and Roll Friday at 855-407-282. We have a better rock and roll song that's not about slow dancing, Robert. Something a little more exciting for the next break. WVLK Radio, Travis. What's on your mind, Travis? Go ahead, please.
That gentleman that just called in and said that he is a war vet, there is absolutely no way that that dude was a war vet, because I have family members that was in the war, and they're vets, and they've retired from it and everything else, and they are totally against everything that Obama is doing. They are totally plus for Trump, and that dude, either he went into boot camp and didn't make it all the way through and graduated, or I don't know what his deal is, but that's garbage. The guy's not a vet at all. I can't say.
There could be veterans who agree with Obama. They're usually the ones who were never in combat. Sometimes they're in the legal side of it, or the medical side of it, or the nursing side of it, the soft social side of it, the supply side of it. They're very rarely war veterans who fought in combat. I find that most combat veterans know what this government is, and they know that they're not being represented by Obama. They know he's the worst and the most deceitful commander-in-chief imaginable. But let's not talk about this man, because it's not going to get us where we want to go. But, Travis, thank you for the support. WJR, Detroit, go ahead. What's your topic?
Yes, Michael, that last guy, the last caller, was trying to set you up, discredit you, and I'm tired of that kind of stuff. It's not right. They're running scared. I think actually both parties are running scared. They don't.
Yeah, well, let's go back to the caller for a minute. He was trying to bait me, but did he win?
No.
Why did he lose? Why did he at the end say he was a government worker, which ended the entire argument? Because it proved that he was working for Obama. So why would he have said that? There's only one reason. He was on a line with a lot of his government friends listening in, and he didn't want to lie in front of them.
So he thought
he was having fun. He thought he was winning because it was like one of those high-fiving each other. And then at the end when I said, what do you do for a living? And remember how he wouldn't answer? And then suddenly he said, I'm a government worker. That was the end of the argument. Of course a government worker supports Obama and would find anything that a talk show host says offensive. That's their job. They work for it. That's their government. They want a nice, cushy job for the rest of their lives with a fat pension for doing nothing.
Because they're moving one piece of paper to the other, and it takes them 2 hours to do it. The other thing,
yeah, and anybody who does it too quickly gets demoted in the government. Anyone who does it a little too quickly and is too efficient, they get demoted because it threatens the whole structure of lazy bums. Thanks for the call. That's why I didn't even send him a copy of Government Zero, because he wasn't worthy of it. WABC, Rod, what's your topic? Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I'm a very recently retired police officer. Worked over 20 years, entire time out in the street. And I'm curious, what's the future of policing in the United States? Who is going to want to be a street police officer anymore?
I'll tell you who. The bad people.
They're gonna have
a lot of people coming in. Like, you remember the movie The Departed?
Yes.
You remember Departed with Leonardo DiCaprio and. I forget the lead. He's really great. I'm not trying to denigrate him. I forget who the lead was in The Departed, who plays the gang member loosely based on Whitey Bulger, who cultivates a kid and sends him into the Massachusetts State Police. Remember that? To be a mole for him?
Yes, sir.
My friends, that's what happens when a nation declines. The good men don't want to take jobs that are going to put their lives at risk because they don't believe that anyone's going to back them up. I played a piece earlier. I don't know if you heard it. From Philadelphia. Here you had a Muslim shooting a cop last night, saying he did it in the name of Islam, pledging allegiance to ISIS. They have it on tape, and the mayor comes out and says it has nothing to do with Islam. Is that what you're talking about, Rod? That kind of thing?
Absolutely. And immediately we're tried in the public court of the media, and no matter what you do, you're destined to fail.
Isn't it interesting that just yesterday on this show I read that the ACLU sued the NYPD and is punishing them with a so-called civilian overseer who will tell them whether or not they can do anything with regard to Muslims, because the NYPD under the previous administration was very intelligently doing what the president of France is now doing, which is monitoring mosques, because we all know that that is where the problem will come from, if it comes at all. And they sued the NYPD, and they won. And now we see the very next day a cop shot in another city. So what do you think the future is of cops in New York City now? Do you think any one of them would dare stand up for what's right when they know that they're going to be taken down by the communist in the mayor's office? He is an overt, naked. Let's not say communist. It'll offend the government workers out there who are all communists. It'll offend them to hear what they actually are. What do you think big government means? What do you think an overbearing government means? What do you think the loss of liberty means? It means communism.
Join the Savage Nation.
We've got breaking news again. I mean, it's going to be hot and heavy. It's a roller coaster. Top of Drudge. Cruz's mother was born in Delaware. End the story. The smear campaign stops now. Breitbart has published the birth certificate for Ted Cruz's mother. Shows that she was born in Delaware on November 23rd, 1934. That establishes her citizenship as U.S. And according to U.S. law, that of her son, even though he was born in Calgary, Alberta, on December 22nd, 1970. That's the end of the birth certificate story. And by the way, it's not been doctored, unlike one from Kapiolani Hospital, in the minds of millions of people. But let's put that aside. You know, it's irrelevant. What's relevant here is the politics of the individual. And when you have a man as deviant as Obama, and again I use the phrase in the correct manner, he is statistically deviant in the sense that he doesn't even represent mainstream liberalism. He is far to the left of that. He represents a very small minority of those on the Democrat side, the far left side, the far, far, far left. That means he's statistically a deviant from the mores, even of the Democrat Party. So let's put this aside now, okay? Let's go to the callers. It's open mic to Mike Friday. We're playing rock and roll. We're getting through all of the breaking news, including the birth certificate for Ted Cruz's mother. Let's talk about Cruz's politics rather than his mother's birthplace. And if you want to talk about Obama's politics instead of his birthplace, be my guest. I've done it for three books now. John WJR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael, I'm very concerned about a potential threat to your continued presence on radio. You alluded to the potential for it with an earlier caller. If and when this administration attempts to ban you from the airwaves based on the claim that you're promoting hate speech, how are you going to fight that? And also, should that happen, how do you recommend that your viewers respond? Or is this is this something that you'd rather not? I'm sure you've thought about it. Or is it something that you'd rather not disclose at the moment?
Well, I wouldn't have taken the call from you right now if I didn't want to talk about it, because I've said to you, if Zuckerface, Twitter, and Google have made a deal with the potato face of Germany to shut down all conservative reactions to the Muslim rape epidemic that occurred over the weekend. In fact, any commentary about immigrants is now shut down on Facebook, Google, and Twitter in Germany. Who is to stop them from doing it here in America, number one? And number two, what's next? The what's next is voices like mine could be targeted for a shutdown. So, yeah, it's worth talking about. And the question is from you, what would I do about it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So here's what I've thought about. I would have certain options at that point. If I wanted to continue fighting for the rest of the years on the earth, I could do so. I could do so on a internet radio platform, which is certainly not as great as the platform I have now. I could do it on my website. I could do it on a social app that is not Facebook. I had someone approach me about a year ago to create a separate app only for conservatives that people could sign up to, where no one could interfere with it, and people could sign up to that. We could do without Facebook, for example, if we needed to. Do I want to do that? No, I would rather do this. But given the tendencies of this maniac in the White House, in the coming months, anything is possible. Don't you think so?
I agree, and God forbid it should ever have to come to that, Michael. I'm afraid.
Right? God forbid it. I could also decide that I don't want to do it anymore and just disappear. I know people don't want to hear that. They want to hear that I want to fight until, you know, my voice stops, until God stops it, and that may be the case. But there comes a time in every man's life where he may decide he doesn't want to do it. But I'm not there right now. I have quite a good length of time left on terrestrial radio as of right now. And what the government may or may not do tomorrow is a matter of conjecture. I think he'd have to overcome the 3-2 commission on the FCC, but this guy goes around everything. This guy goes around the FDA, the FCC, does what he wants. So he could do a rule by fiat and say that any speech that we consider to be not conducive to good social behavior, we're going to ban. I mean, you think he might do that? Who would stop him? NPR? The people he pays?
Well,
tell me who would stand. Tell me, look, when I was banned in Britain in 2009, and I got to tell you, I am still banned in Britain. I'm the only member of the American media who is not allowed to enter Britain because of things I allegedly said. This is the land of the Magna Carta, if you can think of this, how far they had fallen. And I said, if they could do it in Britain, they could certainly do it here. Now, of course, there's a huge difference. In Britain, they do not have a First Amendment. You're aware of that, right?
Well, they don't have a constitution, sure.
No, they don't need a constitution. They have a monarch in England. So, therefore, they're subject to the whims of the fools who run their country. And that's why they've given it away and thrown it away. That's why they let Muslim murderers into the country who say, kill the queen, overthrow the country, and they won't let me in. And you know they're trying to ban Donald Trump right now? Are you aware of that?
I was. I saw that recently, and it's a.
They're holding a vote. They're holding a debate in the parliament as to whether or not to permit Donald Trump to enter UK. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that things would have come to this, that they would let Muslim haters who espouse the overthrow of England and the imposition of Sharia law, and they want to ban Donald Trump. Well, here's the question. Who came to my defense when I was banned? Virtually nobody in the American media. Virtually nobody. So don't sit there thinking that there'd be an outcry and a firestorm. There might not be. On the other hand, there might be. I don't know. The times may have changed. I'm going to send you a copy of Government Zero, because one thing they haven't stopped yet is the printed word, have they? Think about that. You know, the Gutenberg press was the beginning of freedom of the press. The Gutenberg Bible, remember? And for centuries, the greatest avenue of freedom was the written word. And then the electronic media evolved, and Marconi, etc., came along. And then we had a new form of communication, called radio. First the telegraph, then radio, then television, movies, etc. And these are all avenues of communication, aren't they? And I don't know that this government would even dare try to stop this particular form of expression. I don't think they would try it. I think that they have put their toe into the Second Amendment because it's a far more emotional situation with dead people than radio. You understand that? First of all, there are strong rules in radio. Let me tell you, I know them. I live by them. Very, very strong rules in the world of radio, and I've lived with them for 21 years. I never violate them. And I don't think I'm about to do so either. So let's go back to the other topics and not focus on this. John, stay on the line. We'll send you government. Oh, he's gone. That's okay. At least John's willing to read, while the government employee, the Iraq war veteran who won the Medal of Honor, wouldn't even read. his mind was made up. He gets the talking points from the federal government on a daily level. We have another great caller here. WABC Deanna, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, you know, I'm calling because I want to agree with you about something you said a little bit earlier about the misrepresentation of Trump supporters by the liberal degenerates in the media. And in fact, like you said...
Let's use the word liberal deviance because it is a statistical statement that is less, let us say, inflammatory and less able to be criticized. They are deviants in the sense that statistically they're on the far, far left of the liberal spectrum. So let's say the deviants in the media. Okay, go on.
We'll go with deviants then. I really want to say that we are really, like you said, not these blue-collar, undereducated, potentially financially struggling, angry white men like the media is depicting right now. I was compelled to call because I want to strongly debunk this idea. I think...
Wait a minute. You're not an angry white male?
I am not an angry...
Diana, wait. Are you sure you're not an angry white male in disguise?
I am not. I, in fact, represent what many Trump supporters are, and that is I'm educated, I'm financially stable... I am a woman. I'm actually financially stable despite my income being raped on a regular basis. I support Trump, and many women like me support Trump. My circle of friends is people, females just like me, and we are all like-minded in our...
Why do you want Trump to win? What does he represent to you?
Well, I think that, frankly, I'm really saturated. I'm completely saturated with the weakness and demise of this great country. I'm the daughter of immigrants. My family came to this country, you know, for almost 50 years ago without two dimes to rub together. And they made something of themselves, and they made something of me, and I'm so thankful for that. And I'd like to restore that pride in this amazing country.
All right, so you actually believe, well, you believe Trump's motto, which is make America great again, actually could happen. I believe it too. It starts with an idea, and it starts with a very strong leader who believes it. And you know that one leader can wreck a nation. Look what Bill Clinton did to the country, and now look what Obama has done. And one leader can save a nation. That's what a leader is called. And that's what we need, and especially in the military. We need to restore the military to the greatness that it once had. It needs to be refunded. All those who were fired from the captain level and above, driven out by the feminist, don't get me started on this, the so-called feminists who replaced them, many of whom can't fire a gun. Do you know that we have women running the Air Force who can't fly a plane and a woman running the Navy who can't pilot a single-engine boat? Do you understand what Obama has done to the command structure of this military? Is it any wonder that ISIS has not been destroyed? I would start by revamping the military, but look, there's so much to do. That's only one of the things. Deanna, I'm sending you my book. I'm not even going to mention it because I don't want to offend the government workers out there who will think that I'm promoting a product. That's anathema to them. You see, they like everything for free. They get a check from the government, so they like to listen to radio with no advertisements. They don't want any sponsors. They don't want any hosts talking about books that they wrote. Because that's kind of below them, this kind of promotion stuff. That's so gauche. The way it's done in Europe is the government pays for the media. And so the media is free to everyone who listens to it. And then you don't have to listen to any commercials. Those ugly commercials, you know, no one has to listen to them in Europe where the government controls all of the outlets of the media. That's the kind of thing they want in America, is a nice, smooth, let us say, Mantovani delivery of everything, where all is good and all is well. Anyway, the latest headline on Drudge, birth certificate for Cruz's mother shows she was born in the United States in the state of Delaware. End of story. It's over. The smear campaign is gone. What you should do is look at Cruz's policies. Now, I am not supporting Cruz. I'm supporting Trump. I've said that before. I'm not equivocating on it. I think Cruz is a great guy. I think he's very smart. not think, I know he's very smart, but I don't think he could win against Hillary. That's the only reason I don't support him. I don't think he can beat her in a general election. He doesn't have the charisma to beat Hillary. He's good. He's strong. But no. I'd have him running a major league part of the government if Trump won, and I'm sure he's thinking about it. And again, I got to say this. There wasn't one person on that Republican stage that I wouldn't vote for over any Democrat. Not one of them. Every one of them was a fine person. And that would be the cabinet for Donald Trump. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. It's 54 minutes after the hour. Show runs for another huge hour across America. Let's go to some of the callers on the Savage Nation. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Tom on WMAL in the nation's capital. MAL, what's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I'm a 35-year member of a union, matter of fact, two unions, and what you said about Hillary having the unions in her pocket may be what they portray or what the officials say, but I have never seen union members openly talking on the job about any candidate, Democrat or Republican, as they are with Trump. So,
I said the opposite. I said that the head of the SEIU herself said with alarm yesterday that 64% of her members want to vote Republican this time. She's shocked. She doesn't know what to do about it.
No, she doesn't, because I would say it's even higher than that. I don't know what it is about Donald Trump and in this portion of his life, but he has absolutely moved the membership of most unions.
Tom, it's going to be a landslide. The only thing that can stop this landslide of Trump versus Hillary are two things, both of which I'd rather not mention on this radio show, because anyone with a brain can figure out what the criminals in the Democrat Party are liable to do to hold on to power. It's what they've done from the beginning of time. That's what frightens me, and I hope to God that Trump understands the dangers. The closer he gets to the prize, the higher the risk becomes.
With Perot also.
Hang on there, Tom. We're going to send you a copy of my book. I can't mention the name because I may offend the Medal of Honor winner, who thinks it's too much of a self-promotion to mention the book. You see, in government service, they don't have to sell anything. They don't provide any product or service. All I do is collect a check and then tell everyone who does provide a product or service that they're gauche for talking about them, because that's not the way it's done in a socialist heaven. See, there's no commerce in a socialist heaven. There's no need to promote a book or sell a radio show. There's no need for advertisements. In socialist heaven, as in North Korea, you don't need advertisers. What you need is state-run television, state-run radio, and then you have, well, let's say there's harmony. It's harmony because you hear exactly what they want you to hear, and there's no dissent. And the bodies keep falling. People keep disappearing off the streets in black cars. But that's good because it keeps things quiet and calm. That's the way it's done in socialism. 855-407-282. I've got one open line, two open line, three open lines. Be here or be nowhere. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
In an age of cynicism, that's the question. I don't know, but the music's nice. Welcome to hour number three. We move into the end of the week. It's soon going to be Powhatan time. Knock down a primo and hit the surf. Michael Savage, one more hour on the Savage Nation. We have one open line at 855-400-7282. I want to focus on a headline about a cop being shot in Philadelphia where the shooter confessed Islam was his motive. Now, the reason this is a double story is not only that the officer survived being shot 8 times, 11 times by this piece of garbage. The guy gives a confession alleging that he did it in the name of Islam, pledged loyalty to the Islamic State, right? And the police chief comes out and acknowledges that. Let's play that first. Police chief first. Got to hear it.
Yeah, he had the suspect upstairs, the homicide unit, talk to him. Right away, he didn't have anything to say. But then he stated that he pledges his allegiance to Islamic State. He follows Allah, and that is the reason he was called upon to do this.
Now, that's Philadelphia homicide captain James Clark telling clearly, told it to CNN, that he did it, and the guy did it in the name of Allah, pledges allegiance to the Islamic State. Right? She said, oh, well, that's a month after Southern California. I mean, son, there's a pattern here. You know, you can't, even a dummy can see that there's some kind of pattern here. And you might slow down bringing in Muslims from Syria in particular. But no, it gets even better. You ready for this one? Because this is shocking to believe. The mayor, Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney, goes on the air and says the following, which you will not believe unless you hear it with your own ears. Go ahead.
In no way, shape, or form does anyone in this room believe that Islam or the teaching of Islam has anything to do with what you've seen on that screen. That is abhorrent. It's terrible, and it does not represent the religion in any way, shape, or form, or any of its teachings. This is a criminal with a stolen gun who tried to kill one of our officers. Has nothing to do with being a Muslim or following the Islamic faith. So I want to turn it back over to Commissioner for any questions you may have.
So why would he say that? Why does he find it necessary to repeat the homily every time there's a killing or a murder or a terrorist act by a Muslim? Why does the leadership, the liberal leadership in this country, attempt to cover up the connection to Islam? And on the other side of the coin, why is it important that we, the people, know when something is connected to a religion, in this case, Islam? Because unless we know the face of those coming at us and what they believe in, we have no chance to defend ourselves. It's that simple. Moreover, there's a big political story at play connected to this. Why would you bring in Muslims from Syria who cannot be vetted by this government? They didn't vet the two in San Bernardino. They ushered them right in and they committed a massacre. How can they vet all those people coming in from Syria? You know they can't. You know they're lying about it. So why would you even take the chance if you cared about the people? Why would you do to this country what Merkel has done to Germany? Unless you hate the country. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's a big story. I think that another big story is Obama with his big lie that he's not trying to take away our guns. Another big story is that the birth certificate was shown today to Breitbart News of Ted Cruz's mother. She was born in Delaware. Even though he was born in Canada, it makes him a natural-born citizen. End the story. Move on. Let's talk about Cruz's policies as opposed to Hillary's policies. We can do that at any time. And so I want to begin with the callers at 855-400-7282. I want to play some of the great sound. Wasn't there another sound bite that I... Oh, yes, it's the Obama sound in hour number three. And that is Obama arguing with a rape victim. That's the one, Robert. That's the one we were going to get to. During the Stalinist show trial last night about guns, they had to let a few people on who challenged Obama in order to make it look fair. You know, the channel of a Wolf Blitzer, fair. So they had a rape victim on, and she said she wants a gun. And, of course, the great president who doesn't own one and doesn't know how to fire one and is afraid of them had this to say in clip three.
As a survivor of rape and now a mother to two small children, you know, it seems like being able to purchase a firearm of my choosing and being able to carry that wherever me and my family are, it seems like my basic responsibility as a parent at this point. I have been unspeakably victimized once already, and I refuse to let that happen again to myself or my kids. So why can't your administration see that these restrictions that you're putting to make it harder for me to own a gun or harder for me to take that where I need to be is actually just making my kids and I less safe?
Well, Kimberly, first of all, obviously, your story is horrific. The strength you've shown in telling your story and,
you know,
you know, being here tonight is remarkable. Really proud of you for that. I just want to repeat that there's nothing that we've proposed that would make it harder for you to purchase a firearm. And now, you may be referring to issues like concealed carry, but those tend to be state-by-state decisions, and we're not making any proposals with respect to what states are doing. They can make their own decisions there.
But he didn't finish, comma, right now. You know, the old camel toe in the tent thing. No, we're not doing anything to impede your right to bear arms. Not at all. Then why are you doing it at all? Why is he doing it at all then? What's he doing it for? He admitted that it won't produce gun violence. It wouldn't save one life, so what's he doing it for? See? You gotta look at that. I don't like to talk about guns because it's a dead end. Most of my listeners don't own guns, frankly. You know, in the big cities, people tend not to own guns. They're afraid of them. And it's just a cultural thing. They may be conservative, but they're not gun owners. That's the absolute truth. Rural people are more the gun owner. Don't call and say you're a city person who went to Harvard and owns a gun. I know that's not the point of my statement. Why? See, the big issue is not what he's proposing. The issue is, why would he do it at all? Why does he have to do that in January of 2016? You're not seeing the big picture if you don't ask yourself the big question. And I specialize in the big questions, and sometimes I hit the big answers. So let's do it again. Why would this deviant in the White House, again, I will define my terms, being a specialist in definitions, I call him a deviant because he is a political deviant. That is a statistical statement. He is a far, far, far left radical politically. He does not even represent the mainstream Democrat voter. In that sense, he is politically a deviant because he is statistically a deviant. So why does this political deviant, Barack Obama, choose to attack the Second Amendment in the last year of his reign of terror? What does he gain by doing this? What is in it for him? I think that's the pregnant question, by the way. He didn't have to do it. You know, he didn't have to do this. So those are some of the topics. And the phone number is 855-400-7282. We've got callers from around the nation. I prefer you to call if you haven't been heard from or from a station we haven't heard from in a long while. I didn't know how many stations we have in this hour. You know, I only lose three or four stations in the third hour from some markets, but I have over 240 of them. So, God, if you're in a area of the country that we never hear from and you're afraid you'll never get on, this is your hour to shine on the Savage Nation. So that's what we're going to do in this hour. Okay? Wayne on line six of VLK Radio. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Being a veteran, if someone says that the Muslim religion is not a religion of violence, please tell that to the people that shot at me and to where I gladly gave for my country non-use of one of my arms. You know, the thing I wanted to tell you is that during my rehabilitation, what got me through and really pushed me and helped me get my rehabilitation was you in preaching about self-reliance and self-responsibility and the topics that brought up that stirred anger from in my soul, which took away from me feeling sorry for myself. So,
I want to replay what you just said so I fully understand it. I want to follow the psychology of what you said. You lost the use of one of your arms in combat against Muslims, okay? You then said that when you were in rehab, you're saying anger was pouring through you, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, that's... who wouldn't be angry? Who wouldn't be angry when you come back to a country run by a man like this and an entire political media structure like this? It's enough to be very angry, but... You then said that the show helped you get over that anger, and I'd like to know how.
By self-introspect and self-responsibility and self-integrity that you preach constantly when you're talking about whether it be drugs in America, as your topic was yesterday, or anybody that has called as a liberal themselves always blaming someone else It helped me to get out of my own self-pity party and realize the world that I am a part of and proud to be a part of it is me, even though I'm suffering a setback at this time.
It's very interesting because every day, as old as I am, and I'm not as young as I once were, was, I have to wake up, and some days it gets bad for me, and I don't want to accept that what's going on in my life is a result of anything I did or that I have the power to control it. Do you know that almost every day I have to really relive? I have to be reborn every day and recreate myself as a strong individual. It doesn't come with the territory. I don't wake up with that feeling in bed. I have to be reborn every day in that reality. That's the truth, Wayne. If I start to feel this isn't going right or that's not going right, then I go down the whining path in my head. I say, wait a minute, stop it. You didn't get where you are by thinking that way. You got where you are by not thinking that way. Moreover, if you don't like what's happening, then change it. You have the power to change it. As long as you're breathing and you're walking, you have the power to change it. I have to tell that to myself every day, even now, Wayne. It's not a given every morning. Do you know that?
Well, Dr. Savage, I want you to go to bed tonight knowing that what you do each morning to get yourself in that position has helped another human being, and I'm sure countless others that listen to your show as well.
What city are you in, Wayne?
Lexington, Kentucky, sir.
Now, do you know other vets who have injuries from the war against the individuals who don't practice Islam?
Yes, sir.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have 6 free books sent to you to give out to other veterans who are alone and suffering, just as a token of our appreciation from the Savage Nation. 6 copies of Government Zero going out to you and your friends. Maybe it'll help you understand you're not alone. In your most lonely moments, you have to understand that you're actually the majority in this country. You're really not the minority. Although Obama makes you feel marginalized every day with your viewpoint, you are the majority, and you're the best of the majority. And I want to thank you for your service. That's all I can do is say thank you for calling the show as well, Wayne. God bless you, and thanks for serving America. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. I mean, I don't often talk about it, but lately I have. As I get older, I hear his voice over and over again. He died in 1970. I was a young guy, but he never got to see my children. The thing is, I remember he wouldn't let me wimp out. I would like to, as some kids do, some don't. I had friends who were much tougher than me, obviously, really tough kids. They were my protectors, to be honest. And I wanted to wimp out of things. He wouldn't let me. He would just not let me. He would just basically grab me by the shoulders and tell me to straighten up and be a man. He didn't let me get weak, and he taught me that you have to stand up for yourself. And really, that's what it comes down to. You want to save this country? It's going to take every one of us standing up to the deviants on the far left who run the media, who run the government, who run the universities. And I use the word deviant over and over today because I think I'm going to continue to use it. I'm not calling them liberals anymore because true liberals wouldn't be doing what they're doing. And I've been studying this situation for so long that I happen to know that liberals do not want to impinge upon the freedoms of others. Liberals don't stop others from speaking in universities. These are the far, far left deviants who have taken over every avenue of this culture of ours. The long march through all the institutions of America have come to a head with Barack Obama. Now, here's some headlines for the afternoon today. Investors Business Daily is reporting that Obama has failed to sway public opinion on gun control. Despite his Stalinist speeches and CNN appearances and years of legislative pushing, President O has failed to convince the public on key gun control positions he has advocated. According to the latest IBD TIPP poll, I don't know what that means. I know what that means. I'm not going to read the numbers. But he's not winning. Everyone knows he's wrong on it. From the AP, U.S. condemns Israel expanding West Bank settlement block. Okay, we'll let that hang in the air. two Austrians, one Swede, wounded in attack at Egyptian resort, two suspected militants. Well, it's the AP. You know what they mean by militants, don't you? The militants stabbed and wounded three foreign tourists. Well, you know what militants means, don't you? They can't use the I word or the M word. But you can pretty much be sure that the militants were not Christians. And so the militants of unknown religion, the militants of unknown affiliation with religion, stabbed and wounded three foreign tourists at a hotel in Egypt's Red Sea resort of whatever. Now, why would the radical Islamists want to destroy Egypt's shaky tourist economy? Egypt is the largest Muslim country on the planet. Well, now there's your answer. Because although Obama and Kerry and McCain did everything they could to make sure the Muslim Brotherhood maintained power in Egypt, the Egyptian people threw the Muslim Brotherhood in jail, and they restored the nation through a military coup that is not at all Islamist.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
So you can turn it off. That was the voice of Germany during the heavy metal days. Now the voice of Germany is that of, well, something else. Something kinder and gentler, you would think. A group of potato-faced feminists who rule with iron high heels. You take a look at who's running Germany, the woman who runs the city where the rapes occurred. It's unbelievable to me how she apologized for the Muslims who raped the girls, saying the German girls should dress more conservatively. It's a shocker. You know, if anyone in America had ever said that in the 1960s during the height of the real feminist movement, what would have happened to them? Astounding how the world is changing in front of our eyes. And you have to ask yourself why. Well, here are some of the headlines from the beginning till now. They captured El Chapo after 6 months on the run, the number one drug leader in the Mexican cartels. Mexican Marines caught him after a shootout. And here's a shocking, terribly shocking story. Facebook, Google, Twitter have shut down any criticism in Germany against refugees. You've heard me. The very same pirates who run these internet enterprises, who still won't shut down ISIS recruitment in Syria or Iraq or the other hotbeds of Islamic terrorism, have found the way to shut down anyone talking against Muslim refugees in Europe. My friends, fascism is fascism. It doesn't matter what form it comes in, and it doesn't matter how you sugarcoat it. North Korean nukes, just 2 days ago. You have forgotten about it already, right? Why would the American media forget the North Korean nuclear explosion? Because it shows Obama's failures and weakness. A man who bullies the American middle class and kowtows to the real dictators on the earth. That's why. Obama is a classic bully. Phone number is 855-407-282. Pennsylvania cop shot repeatedly by a man who said he did it in the name of Islam. Did it for Allah. Said he supports ISIS. And then the mayor of Philadelphia gets up there and says it has nothing to do with Islam. And now, are you ready for the follow-up to that? The sequel, if you think I'm just being an alarmist? Headline. Police in NYC and the U.S. on alert for more ISIS attacks after Philly shooting. So if you look at ISIS, it says Islamic State. It's not ISIS, it's not the Hindu state. It's not JISIS, it's not the Jewish state. It's not BISIS, it's not the Buddhist state. It is not, well, you get the picture. The Islamic State shootings, more of them, after Philly's shooting. But wait a minute, if you're an NYPD cop, and you see a Muslim with a gun about to shoot you, you better call the ACLU first for permission to defend yourself. Because you just lost a lawsuit. And you certainly don't want to get on the wrong side of a feminist lawyer from the ACLU. A gunman claiming to have pledged allegiance to Islamic State militants shot and seriously wounded a Philly police officer in ambush in a patrol car last night. In New York City, where two police officers were shot dead in their patrol car in a December 2014 attack by a man angry over police killings of unarmed black men, the police department issued a memorandum urging officers to exercise heightened vigilance and implement proactive measures. Well, all you guys in blue in New York City, I suggest you get out your cell phones and call the feminists at the ACLU and ask if you can defend yourself without calling them first. Because you don't want to offend a lawyer for the ACLU. Yep, it's crazy times. KSFO, John, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Michael, you're truly an old soul. In one of your writings or books from years ago, you spoke about Barack Obama would always be a five-year-old boy whose grandfather handed him the watch, left the room, and the little boy took the watch apart and scattered it all over the floor. By the time Grandpa get back into the room, impossible to put the watch back together, and that's what this man, I guess he's a man, has done to this world as it sits right now. He has scattered it all over the place, and it's going to be very, very difficult to put it back together.
You know, I remember that. I remember, I think that was it was the book before, it was in Stop the Coming Civil War, I think. And I said, Obama is like a smart child, a curious child, rather, who takes a watch apart that his grandfather gave him and then can't put it back together again. I think that was the analogy I used. It was a good one. Because really, Humpty Dumpty has taken the world apart.
Yeah, he has. And you add to that, in his own words, in his own autobiography, that he was, you know, 4 years in high school, a complete stone-to-the-bejeebers individual leading a chum gang, whatever that was. And you put that combination of factors together with all the influence that he experienced as a young, growing person, which was, you know, pretty much from a bunch of whack jobs, then that's where the world is. I mean, this is not hard to figure out.
Look, his mother, God rest his soul, was a hardcore leftist who eschewed basically American values. He learned it very young. I think that by what I read, his grandmother, Stanley was her name, by the way, that should say something to you. I believe Stanley and her husband were also quite left of center. So he was steeped in the mother's milk of anti-Americanism. And now he's president, and he has been for 7 years. We all know that. So it's like, why complain about it? Because the man continues to act out against the nation that has given him so much. And unless we all speak out, he will continue to act out. See, there's a reason for us to stand up to him, even in his last year. People would say, oh, get over it. He was elected twice. Learn to live with it. Not when you wake up and late in January he goes after the guns. What's next? The First Amendment, he goes after speech, and he says that speech that's disturbing is disturbing the social order and we need to control it. Where will it end? Unless we speak out, he will continue to act out. I'm sending you Government Zero so you can help others articulate so clearly what you just said. I like that analogy of the watch. I'd forgotten about it. Because I was the kid who took watches apart. But you know the difference? My father taught me how to put them together again. I had a father in the house. My father sold clocks. He sold watches. And he taught me how to put clocks back together again. Now that I think about clocks and watches, I'm obsessed with time. I'm obsessed with watches. Ask anyone who knows me. My houses are a little crazy. I have clocks and watches all over the house. I haven't become one of those nuts, though, with like 30 different chime clocks that go off slightly at a different time. And you enter, ever entered a house where there's like a cuckoo clock and a grandfather clock and like 30 mantle clocks, and they're all chime clocks, and none of them go off at the same time? It's like, cuckoo, bang, bang, cuckoo. It sounds like Nancy Pelosi on a good day. But the thing is that my dad taught me how to put clocks back together again. I was always a curious kid who took them apart. I loved to build model airplanes. I had immense patience for wooden airplanes. Would you believe it? They still sell wooden airplanes? I don't think they do it. I remember little sticks of balsa wood with paper plans, and we glue the corners together and get teeny little vices and make them. Can you imagine kids would do a thing like that and then put paper over the wooden fuselage of a plane and then fly them? It's unbelievable to me. I sound like from another, I almost said another century, but we did it. No, we didn't play with iPhones. We played with wooden models, and I enjoyed building them, and I was an introverted kid who liked to do it. In many ways, I'm telling you this because radio is very much like that. Radio is very much like building model airplanes. You need immense patience, and you need to see the outcome before you even begin, and you need to be willing to stick through it. Think about a three-hour show. You know, some days I take off or I have things to do, and I get a fill-in on the show, and occasionally I'll tune in from time to time. I'll start at the beginning just to hear how they open the show. Then I have my stuff to do, and I can't listen. I turn it on 45 minutes later, and I hear the guy talking. I turn it on the second hour, he's still talking. And then the third hour, I've had lunch, I've had a drink, I've gone here, I've gone there. And the guy's still on the air, and I say, how the heck does that guy do it? How does he stay on the air for 3 hours? And I said to myself, that's what you do every day of your life. How do you stay on the air for 3 hours? Well, the answer is commitment, passion, and knowing what I'm talking about. It's that simple. WDRC Radio, John, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? I said hello three times, yes.
Yes, can you hear me? I would like to respectfully disagree with you about the light going out in America. I think the light's getting brighter. The young people are waking up to this. They're starting to listen to you. I have 20-year-olds that think you're fantastic. The Marine, the real Marine that called in from Long Island, he said that he took an oath to defend this country.
Well, I understand, but I got to reiterate what I'm saying. Of course that is true. But the deviants who run the media, the deviants who run the government, the deviants who run the universities, and I'm going to use the word again, it is not a sexual statement I am making, because we always think deviant means sexual. They are political deviants from a statistical viewpoint. They're on the ultra far, far left of the spectrum. They represent probably 1-3% of the American population, if that high. And yet you would think that they are the majority, since they reinforce each other's positions on a daily basis. But no, the majority of Americans don't think the way these far-left deviants think. And they don't want America going in the direction that these deviants have taken it. They want it saved, and they want it going somewhere else, which is why the Republican Party is trying to stop Donald Trump. Because the Republican Party, as you well know, is trying to stop Trump in South Carolina. They're planning a firewall approach against him. By the way, I just heard from Donald Trump's people in this hour. He will be on the show next week. He's so busy, I don't hound him. He knows I'm for him. When he can, he comes on. He'll be with us probably next week, probably on Tuesday is my guess. If not, we'll let you know. And if you have questions for him, you'll be able to possibly answer them. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. I want to play a little sound before the hour comes to an end. My God, I can't believe the hour's almost over. Hour three already. You know, Fridays, on one hand, it's an easy day if you just play sound and take calls and, you know, it is easy. I didn't just take calls. I took a lot of time with the articles today, and that's because I have to give it my full measure. At the end of the day, you know what they say? Make sure you did a full measure for your work that day. What's the Bible say about that? Give us this day our daily bread. But you have to earn your daily bread. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Well, that means I have to give you your daily bread. You've taken the time to listen to this show, whether it's for 5 minutes or 3 hours. I've got to give you your daily bread. And I've tried to do that. I've tried to bake you the best whole wheat bread I know how to make. I'm not giving you white bread with sugar in it. You want that, you get it from the major media. So let's go back before we go. The sound that you said you had was the American sniper, Robert, his widow, taking on Obama last night on guns. It's very important you hear it. Listen.
We're at an all-time low for murder rate. That's a big deal. And yet I think most of us in this country feel like it could happen at any moment. It could happen to any of us at any time. And I'm almost finished. Just when you talk about the NRA and after a mass shooting, that gun sales go up, I would argue that it's not necessarily that I think somebody's going to come take my gun from me, but I want the hope, and the hope that I have the right to protect myself, that I don't end up to be one of these families, that I have the freedom to carry whatever weapon I feel I need, just like your wife said on that farm road. You know, the sheriffs aren't going to get to my house either. And I understand that background checks aren't necessarily going to stop me from getting a gun. But I also know that they wouldn't have stopped any of the people here in this room from killing, and so it seems like almost a false sense of hope. So why not celebrate where we are? I guess that's my real question is,
well,
celebrate that we're good people, and 99.9% of us are never going to kill anyone.
Well, let me make a couple of points. First of all,
sure, let me double talk you.
To your husband for his service, and thank you for
Here we go again, John Smith.
Extraordinary heroism that
he
and your family have shown.
Yeah, right. The homily now, how great he was. All right.
Number two, what you said about murder rates and violent crime generally is something that we don't celebrate enough. The fact of the matter is
all right, let's forget he's a rhetorician, so don't expect anything to come out of his mouth with any truth in it. Okay, he's a rhetorician. That's how he got it, by throwing the malarkey, as my father would have said. He threw the malarkey so good as a kid, he wound up on top of the heap. You know, he knew how to throw the bull pretty good. Great voice. Tall, skinny, good-looking kid. Great voice. Bamboozled everybody his whole life. Now the whole world sees what he is. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. Boy, did we ever get the shortest straw in the White House. And unfortunately, he doesn't seem to know it yet. But you know, his latest charade on guns, by my estimation, has been the biggest PR disaster of his entire career. Everywhere he turned, he was challenged, and it was the women who took him down. It was the rape victim, who seemed like a Statue of Liberty compared to him. He seemed like a little man compared to her in his stupid answers. And the widow of the American sniper took him down. It was the biggest PR disaster of his entire career, this gun thing. A huge mistake. Whoever whispered in his ear should know that we know it's a public relations disaster, and we are not waiting to hear from Wolf Blitzer as to what we should think. Zechariah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he was a visionary, and he saw visions, and he wrote, "Then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there a flying scroll. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' And I answered, 'I see a flying scroll.' And he said to me, 'This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. They shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name.'" Well, let's pray that one day we will wake up and every thief and every perjurer in this government will be thrown out. Good night.
We'll be right back.